Madhava Kunjavihara. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihara. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Gaya. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihara. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihara. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Gaya. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Gaya. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Randana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Randana. Yamuna Tira Valachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihara. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihara. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Gaya. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Gaya. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Randana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Randana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira
done. the five Paramahamsa Prabhupada ask the Prabhupada to teach you now.
His divine grace is the A.C.
Ramata Vadavaisuna Kijari, Namacharya Silhardas Thakur Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Kijai, Ramta Kahosha Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Shiva Vaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakti Mundakijai, Shishi Radha Krishna Gopiya Sankam Radhakam Guru Gurudan Kijai, Sivandavan Dham Kijai, Srimaya Pranavadam Kijai, Gangamaya ki jai, Jamunamaya ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vinda ki jai, Chastana Book Distribution ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Go Premanandi. All glory to some devotees, all glory to some devotees, all glory to some devotees, all glory to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. It's nice to have so many gardenia flowers. In Los Angeles, Prabhupada would arrive and they'd have these long gardenia that would go down to his knees, these thick gardenia garlands. And Sutakirti said at night Prabhupada would take rest and he would have that garland next to his head. He liked the smell of these gardenias. Of course, everybody does, I think. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text Number 14. Yavam na jayeta paravare smin visvesvare drastari bhakti yogaha tava staviya purusasya rupam Priyavasane Prayata Smarita Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin Visvesvare Dvastri Bhakti Yoga Tava Staviya Purusasya Rupam Priyavasane Prayata Smarita
Priyavasane Prayata Smarita
Yavanna Jayeta Parabharesmin
Yavanna Jayeta Parabharesmin
Visvesvare Trasri Bhakti Yoga
Visvesvare Trasri Bhakti Yoga
Yavasvariya Purusasya Rupam Priyavasane Vayata Sarita
Priyavasane Vayata Sarita
Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin
Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin
Visvesvare Drastri Bhakti Yoga
Visvesvare Drastri Bhakti Yoga
Tavasaiya Purusasya Rupam Priyavasane Vrita Smarita
Priyavasane Vrita Smarita
Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin
Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin
Visveshvare Dashtari Bhakti Yoga
Visveshvare Dashtari Bhakti Yoga
Tavat Staviya Purushasya Rupam
Tavasaniya Purusasya Rupam
Priyavasane Prayata Smaradvita
Priyavasane Prayata Smaradvita
Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin
Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin
Visveshvare Drastari Bhakti Yoga
Visveshvare Drastari Bhakti Yoga
Tava
passages. Yavat, as long as,
na,
does not,
jayeta,
develop,
para,
transcendental,
avare,
mundane,
asmin,
in this form of, vishva ishvare,
the Lord of all worlds,
drashtari,
unto the seer.
Bhakti Yoga,
devotional service.
Tavat,
so long.
Taviyaha,
the gross materialist.
Purushasya,
of the
Virat Purusha.
Rupam,
universal form.
Kaya
avasane,
at the end of one's prescribed
duties,
prayataha,
with proper attention,
smareta,
one should remember.
Translation and purport
by His Divine Grace, Srila
Prabhupada ki.
Unless
the gross materialists
develop a sense of
loving service
unto the Supreme Lord,
the seer of both
the transcendental
and material worlds,
he should remember
or meditate
upon the
universal form of the
Lord
at the end of
his prescribed duties.
Purport.
The
Supreme Lord is the
seer of all worlds,
both material
and transcendental.
In other
words, the Supreme
Lord is the
ultimate beneficiary
and enjoyer
of all worlds,
as confirmed
in the Bhagavad Gita
5.29.
The spiritual world
is the
manifestation
of his internal
potency,
and the material
world
is the manifestation
of his external
potency.
The living
entities are
also his
marginal potency,
and by their
own choice,
they can live
in either the
transcendental
or
material
worlds.
The material
world is not
a fit place
for living
entities
because they are
spiritually one
with
the Lord.
And
in the
material world, the
living entities
become conditioned
by the
laws of the
material world.
The Lord
wants all living
entities who
are his parts and
parcels to
live with him
in the
transcendental world.
And
for enlightening
conditioned souls
in the material
world, all the
Vedas
and the
revealed scriptures
are there,
especially
to recall
the conditioned
souls back
home,
back to Gaya.
Unfortunately,
the conditioned living
entities,
although suffering
continually
the threefold
miseries of
conditioned life,
are not very
serious about going back
to Godhead.
It is due
to their
misguided way
of living,
complicated
by sins and
virtues.
Some of
them, who are
virtuous by
deeds, begin to
re-establish the
lost relationship
with the Lord.
But they are
unable to
understand the
personal feature
of the Lord.
The real
purpose of life is
to make contact
with the Lord
and be
engaged in His
service.
That is the
natural position
of living
entities.
But those
who are impersonalists
and are
unable to render
any loving service
to the Lord have
been advised
to meditate
upon His impersonal
feature,
the Virat Rupa,
or
universal form.
Some way
or other, one
must try to
re-establish
one's forgotten
relation with
the Lord
if one at
all desires to
gain
real happiness in
life
and
to reclaim
his
natural,
unfettered
condition.
For the
less intelligent
beginners,
meditation
on the
impersonal feature,
the Virat Rupa,
or universal form
of the Lord,
will gradually
qualify one to
rise to
personal contact.
One is advised herewith to meditate upon the Virat Rupa specified in the previous chapters in order to understand how the different planets, seas, mountains, rivers, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods, and all that we can conceive are but different parts and limbs of the Lord's Virat form. This sort of thinking is also a type of meditation on the Absolute Truth. And as soon as such meditation begins, one develops one's godly qualities, and the whole world appears to be a happy and peaceful residence for all the people of the world. Without such meditation on God, either personal or impersonal, all good qualities of the human being become covered with misconceptions regarding his constitutional position, and without such advanced knowledge, the whole world becomes a hell for the human being. Om Agyanatamanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gadave Namaha Mukram Kurtavatalam Kamun Lunghayate Yatkipa Taraham Bande Shigurum Dinataranam Vanchakapa Tribhischa Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanibhya Vaishnavibhya Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada says in the purport here, the material world is not a fit place for living entities. What was the Bhaktivinoda Thakur said? The material world is a weird abode. And Bhaktisiddhanta says, what the Thakur says, it's no place for a gentleman. Not a nice place. But somehow we have ended up here. And Krishna says here that he wants to bring the living entities back to him. In another place, one lecture Prabhupada said that Krishna, he's feeling some pain. Believe it or not. Because his sons and daughters, they're here in this world suffering. So I can imagine there's a father with many sons, say six sons, and one of them goes bad. Five are good, obedient, nice sons. One goes bad, just goes out and becomes a drunkard, and he's taking drugs and womanizing and just doing all kinds of criminal activities. It'll give the father some pain to have a son like that that's gone off so bad. And he's expressing this to one of his good sons. And this good son decides, well, let me help this brother of mine. So he goes out and he finds him. And he rents an apartment and he brings his brother in there and he gradually tries to help him out of his darkness. And gradually, after months and months, he kind of comes back to being a normal person. And he takes him back to his father, and the father is so happy to see him, a normal son again. Imagine the joy that the father will have towards this son that went out of his way to help his brother. So that's actually the position of the devotees that are going out and distributing books and preaching. And therefore, Krishna says, Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakte sadhasasya. He says, anybody who preaches this message of Bhagavad Gita is most dear to me, and there'll never be anyone more dear to me than that person. Because Krishna's concerned. His parts and parcels are out here in this material world, suffering material existence. So he wants to help, therefore he comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam sajam raham. whenever and wherever there's a predominant rise of irreligion and decline of religious practice, at that time I descend. So Krishna comes himself to help us, parts and parcels, and he leaves us the wonderful Bhagavad Gita, which has inspired so many people to become devotees of Krishna. And he sends his pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Nod Thakur, so many, Six Goswamis, so many great personalities are sent to help us back home, back to Godhead. We can't do it on our own. We need help. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when he was preaching to Sanatana Goswami, he says, Maya Mugdha, Jivara Nahispati Krishigyan, Jivara Kupoya Kola Krishna Veda Puran, that one cannot revive one's Krishna consciousness on one's own. Therefore, Krishna comes and he gives us the Vedic literatures, the Puranas, to help us. Imagine if we didn't have the Bhagavad Gita, we didn't have the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada had not come. I mean, imagine. And then we're trying to understand Krishna, we're trying to understand God. It's not going to happen. We got so much guidance from Srila Prabhupada, so much guidance from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishna is trying to help us back home. He wants to see us happy again in his service. So here it says, in the translation, it says that unless the gross materialist develop a sense of loving service unto the Supreme Lord, the seer of both the transcendental and material worlds, he should remember and meditate upon the universal form of the Lord at the end of this prescribed duty. So who are the gross materialists? Practically the whole world is covered by gross materialists, engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Practically the whole world. So Prabhupada compared them to crows. The crows, they're interested in going to filthy places and getting filthy things to eat, dirty. But then there's another bird, the swan. And the swan is like, I was in Zurich some years ago, Switzerland. There's a nice river there, and there were so many swans. And there were so many nice flower bushes, and it was very beautiful. The river was very clean. So the swan and the crow aren't birds of the same feather. So Prabhupada said, our mission is to turn the crows into swans. It's a big challenge. But Prabhupada, he was able to do it because of that purity. He had that purity to turn crows into swans. It's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nayad Vachishtam, Param Hiryasa, Jagat Pavitam, Praganita Karachi, Tadvahayasam Tirtam, Vasantamanasam, Nayanta Hansa, Nirmant Yusikseyaha. That literature which does not give description of the glories of the Lord are said by sages to be placed in pilgrimage for crows. On the other hand, that literature which does give descriptions of the glories of the Lord are of another creation directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. So that's what these books do. They create a revolution in the hearts of the living entities who read these books. I remember myself, it happened to me. Someone asked me if I could say how I came to Krishna consciousness, and it's very much in relation to this verse. I was in Los Angeles with millions of other crows, And I went to one friend's home, and there was a yogi speaking on television. And he was talking about meditation and yoga. And I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. And they had a place there in Los Angeles where you can go and you can learn more. So I went to this place in Los Angeles. Many of you probably are aware that it's called Transcendental Meditation. So I went there, and you're supposed to hear for 3 days what they have, and then after 3 days, if you want, you could buy a mantra. Well, back then, 1978, it was only $120. You know, only $60 for each syllable, two syllables. Only $60. Now it's $1,200. $600 for each syllable. That's right. Inflation. Yeah, yeah. $1,200. That's right. Inflation. So I got my mantra. You know, in the West, we're very naive about these things. We don't know you don't buy mantras. So. Prabhupada said, I could have made so much money. How many syllables are in the Hare Krishna mantra? 32? I think 32 syllables. Eh? Could have made so much money, right? But he said, I've not come here to cheat you, but I've come to give you, to give Krishna. So I got my mantra, I was doing my meditation, was it 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. But it kind of helped me kind of slow down, you know, Southern California kid. So it kind of helped me, you know, slow down a little bit. I started reading books on philosophy and yoga and meditation and all kinds of. I got this book by Baba Ram Das, famous American guru back then. I think it was Be Here Now. And I decided that LA is probably not such a good place for spiritual life. So I decided to leave, looking for a paradise. That was my goal, to find a paradise. You know, leave LA and go look for spiritually minded people, so I could learn with others. So I went traveling. And in the book, he mentions that as one advances in spiritual life, one becomes detached from material things and money and just all these, you become detached. And I thought, all right, that makes sense. You go on a spiritual journey, then you become detached from material things. It would make sense. So I'm traveling, and someone stole all my things. And I thought, okay, that's good. Yeah. The process is working without my even endeavoring. Things are taken away. All right, this is good. So I decided to go to the Bahamas, thinking that would be a good place for my spiritual life. Boy, was it a wake-up. It was terrible, very materialistic. Terrible. I was there for one night and decided to leave the next day. But before I left, someone stole all my money. But I was thinking, wow, this is really good. I was so happy. I was so happy because I had nothing now. But I knew I'm on this spiritual journey and I'm never going to go back again to material life. I was convinced this is it. My life is going through a complete change now. And I was so happy. I'd never been so happy. I had nothing. But I was so happy because I knew something wonderful was going to happen. So I was anticipating the next page to open. So somehow I still had my ticket, and I had this book and my passport. That's about it, right? I flew back to Miami, not knowing where I'm going. So I'm hitchhiking. The guy picks me up, and he says, hey, where are you going? I don't know. I'm on this journey. I don't know where I'm going, but I like it. So he said, well, you're going to need money wherever you go. Then we go down to Key West, get a job. I took that as some higher power guidance. All right, I went down to Key West, got a job. Still reading this book by Baba Ram Das, finished it. In the back of the book, he had books recommended to read, and one of them was Bhagavad Gita. And when I saw those two words, Bhagavad Gita, I thought, that looks like a very interesting book. And he had mentioned it also in the book. So I went to the public library, 4 different Bhagavad Gitas. Now what? Fortunately, the BBT made ours more attractive, so I pulled out Prabhupada's. Otherwise, who knows where I'd be now. So I pulled out Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. It was actually the abridged. Remember, some of you might remember the yellow back, abridged. Didn't have all the purports. It was maybe it was Macmillan's. Didn't have all the purports. Yellow back. It was yellow back. It was a cover. It was a paper cover of yellow back. So when I was reading that, I was like, "This is it. This is it. This is my the end of my journey. This is it, Bhagavad Gita." So yeah, I was just like, Prabhupada's purports and Krishna's statements were just so powerful that I was completely convinced Krishna's God. So from reading the Bhagavad Gita, I started chanting Hare Krishna. I threw out the Iyengar mantra, threw that one out the window, and transcendental meditation. It wasn't transcendental. It was a material vibration. Useless. So I started chanting Hare Krishna. I had this job where there was nobody around, so I was just chanting Hare Krishna all day long. And Krishna was giving me some mercy. I got a spiritual high there. You know, Krishna give you some preliminary nectar, you know, when you first start out, just give you a little taste. You know? So I got that little taste. I just loved it. So after 3 days of chanting like this, I went outside the exit of where I was working, and devotees were there doing Harinam. 100 yards away from the exit. Mahananda, you know Mahananda. He was there with Lanka Vijay, maybe some of you know, big black Lanka Vijay. So they were doing bhajan there. So I went over to him and said, "Hey, you guys are chanting the same mantra as I chant." And so Mahananda, he preached me for a couple hours, and he said, "You know, we have a center here. If you want, you can come and move in." All right. So I moved in that night. Him and also Sri Maya. Maybe some of you know Sri Maya.
Yeah, I know.
He was there. There was the three of them. They just had a little thing, you know, just for association, a little apartment there. And then after 2 weeks, they said, "You know, you should go to Miami. Go to Miami, you can get actually trained up there." So I said, "All right." So I went to Miami. And was it 8 acres? Was it something like that? 8 acres? 8.5 acres. And there was about 60 mango trees. There was banana trees and all kinds of tropical trees. And there was a little pond there we'd go swimming, and there was... It was New Namastranya Forest. And I remember when I left L.A., I was looking for paradise. So I found paradise in New Namastranya Forest. It was so nice. It was so nice in Namastranya Forest. So many nice devotees. So many of them, many of them are here in Alachua. So this is the power of hearing. And my first service was I was Tejo's Prakash's pot washer. And then Narahari came up to me. He was the president. Narahari, he said, "Are you bold?" I said, "Well, yeah, I can be." I guess that was a prerequisite. If you want to be a book distributor, you got to be bold. You know? So, yeah, I can be pretty bold. He said, "All right, we're going to try your own book distribution." So I went and I told Tejo, they want to put me on book distribution. He said, no, they got enough book distributors. You're doing fine. You want me to keep, you know, doing the pots. So then he finally relented. All right, yeah, I'll go. So that was 44 years ago. And it gets sweeter and sweeter. Book distribution. Panchagoda here, Prabhu, he was my Sangirtan leader. He taught me how to distribute Prabhupada's books. And then Panchagoda, he became the Tamil president, so he beat that. "You be the Sangirtan leader." All right. And then he gave up the president and said, "Vijay, you be the president."
Narai
went to Hawaii. No, that's all right. So this is the mercy of Krishna. And Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, then distribute books. Because he knew that this knowledge will change people's lives. All over the world, to this day, people's lives are changing. I was in San Diego just maybe a year ago, distributing books at Balboa Park. Prabhupada went there and spoke. Some of you might remember that famous guy saying, I want sex more than once a month. Yeah. Prabhupada said, just like this person, he wants sex. You know, he went up the whole thing. That was Balboa Park. So I was distributing at a table, and these three girls come to the table, and they're all crying. They're all crying, three of them. I said, why are you all crying? They said, well, just 10 yards down the hallway, there's this violin player, and he's really good, so we're all crying because he's good. So I showed them the Bhagavad Gita, and they said, you know, the violin player, he was good, but this is better. What you just showed us is better. So they all got a Bhagavad Gita. One of them gave $50 to cover all the costs of the Bhagavad Gita. And I, one of them was in San Diego, the other two in LA area. So I gave LA or the San Diego person an invitation to our Thursday. We have something called Krishna Lounge, which is really nice. A lot of new people come, and so many people are coming and getting to hear about Krishna. Every week, new people are coming. It's really ecstatic. So this one girl, it was Thursday, it's coming up, but I gave them that invitation on Sunday. But this girl couldn't wait. She came on Tuesday. She came to the temple. And somehow me and Balaram, who was like the manager there, we were in the lobby, but we were never in the lobby. She came in, and she just spilled out her heart to us. She read the Bhagavad Gita all the way through. And just loved it. So I was just thinking that, but this is what happened to me. I read the Bhagavad Gita, I just, you know, joined the temple. So I'm thinking, this person is like that, she could just join. But in San Diego, there's no facility. We have a small temple, there's no facility for women, just brahmacharis. So I was thinking, where can we send her? So I called up Kalakanta, and there happened to be one spot left. You know, they have like, they allow like 12 people for each semester. There was one spot open this semester. So I said, you know, you can go down to Florida and you could learn all about Krishna. We're having a semester starting soon and there's one spot open, so you can go there. She said, all right, I'm going. And she came, she went there. She was there for, I think, a few months. Now she's back in San Diego doing devotional service there. Victoria. So, by book distribution, people's lives are changing. Just like a year and a half ago, I gave a book also at the park there to this one young man from Russia, and he read it, and he's in San Diego now, and he's the biggest book distributor. He did better than me. I couldn't believe it. He's the biggest book distributor in San Diego now. He's doing huge. He was number 38 in the world. And he just started book distribution. So book distribution does not only make devotees, it makes book distributors also. Very auspicious. So yeah, it's the most auspicious thing happening now on the planet, is book distribution. Because it is what pleases Krishna the most. I was distributing books once at a university in Los Angeles, and this Muslim person came to the table. And I was showing the book to him, explaining it to him. And I said, you know, I think Muslims are very religious people, I think you would appreciate it. And he told me, if I take this book home to my family, they'd kill me. You know, Muslims are very strict about, you know, looking into any other religion. And even, believe it or not, said that if a Muslim joins another religion, that's cause for death. He can be killed. Hari Das Thakur, there's the example. They tried to kill him. He was a Muslim. Mahari Krishna tried to kill him. But still like that. So he said, I can't possibly, even though it's interesting, I'm interested, it's nice, I can't possibly take it. So I told him, you know, God is more important than your family. And he was like, he had never heard that before. And he was shocked. And then he said, but you know, you're right. But I can't take the book. So then, the next day, he comes to me and says, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I wasn't sure if I'd see you again. You won't believe what happened last night. I'm sleeping. I have a dream. And my parents are very cruel to me. They're mean. And then the Bhagavad Gita shows up in this dream, and it's glowing. And it's beautiful. And I said, you see, God is more important than your family. Your family was cruel to you. And the Bhagavad Gita comes to you beautifully glowing, letting you know, this is God. He said, all right, I'll get it. So we got the Bhagavad Gita. An auspicious dream. I mentioned this yesterday in Gainesville. There's another amazing, so many amazing stories. I have a book now, it's called The Treasures of the Brihat Murdunga, filled with amazing stories. On its way, just now coming. It's taken quite a time to get it going. But this person, he was in Lithuania, and he had done some crimes, and he was wanted by the police. So he thought, better I leave this country. Eventually they're going to catch me. So he left. And he's traveling around Europe. And as he's traveling around Europe, he got on this spiritual quest. He started questioning, what's the goal of life? Why am I here? What's this all about? So he was talking to a lot of people. And again, people would say, you know, you should go to India. India is where you find out all your answers. You know, so many sadhus, saintly people, and all these Vedas. You should go to India. So he heard that again and again. So finally he decided, all right, I'm going to India. So he went to India. And he's going around and he's hearing different sadhus and saintly people and seeing different books. And then he got a Science of Self-Realization. He read that and thought, ah, this is sitting nicely with me. This is what I want. And then he met some devotees from the Chapati temple. And he went to the temple there and he was very impressed with all the devotees and everything. Just everything, just lovely. Eventually he was able to move in to the temple. Took initiation from Radha Swami eventually. So after about 4 years of not speaking to his mother, he called his mother and they're talking and said, oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm a monk now. She said, you're a monk? You're a monk? I can't believe it. What kind of a monk are you? He said, I'm a Hare Krishna monk. And she said, well, Hari Bol. And he said, how do you know Hari Bol? She said, I'm a devotee too. He said, well, how'd that happen? So one devotee was going door to door selling Bhagavad Gitas and it looked interesting. He made a nice presentation. And I read it and I was convinced. I'm an initiated devotee. And he was still a bhakta. Oh, I don't remember his name yet. But these are some of the amazing things. The book distribution is a real interesting activity. It's an adventure. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful activity. You want me to continue? I was distributing books in Brisbane. Door to door. And this person opened the door. He saw I had the Bhagavad Gita And he said, no, I'm not interested. I worship Satan. So I said, okay, well, this is all about God, so you should know your enemy. He said, all right, good point. All right, I'll buy one. So he gave a nice donation. Get $20. Bhagavad Gita. Hopefully he understands eventually that God is his best friend, Satan is his enemy. I was distributing in Australia also, and it was a really tough afternoon, really difficult. So one thing that happens, one nice thing about book distribution is when you're having a difficult time, you take shelter of Krishna. Call Krishna, please. Please help me. I can't distribute these books, please help me. So these four men came and I was explaining the Bhagavad Gita to them. And they all took Bhagavad Gitas. Very interesting. This is a result of prayer in Krishna sense. Book distribution can be very mystical. So I told him, you know, we're going to have a program here just in another half hour. We're going to have some singing and meditation. We're going to have some nice food. And you might find it interesting. So they all came. And they participated in the whole program. Kirtan, a lecture, and nice prasadam. You know, now none of them stayed or joined at that time. A year later, I went to the Melbourne temple, and one of those boys was at the Melbourne temple. He became a devotee. So this is always nice. You know, distributing books, you find out actually someone become a devotee. It's encouraging. I was distributing books in the Miami airport. And I approached this lady and this man. They had about a 9-year-old daughter. And I was explaining the book, and the lady said, oh yeah, I'm very interested in meditation and yoga. And she told her husband, give him a donation, I want this book. He said, nah, you're not going to read it, come on, let's go. She said, no, I want to read the book, give him a donation. Nah, it's just going to sit in the shelf, you're not going to read it. Come on. And she got upset and just walked away. And the little girl looked up at her father and she said, Daddy, I hate you. And as soon as she said that, you know, you imagine that he's going to feel a little bad about it. So he reached into his pocket and gave me $10. And then the little girl grabbed the book and she's running down the aisle. Mommy, Mommy, I got the book, I got the book. I hope that didn't cause a divorce or anything. Another time, we were in Miami and we were distributing books. And sometimes back in the, you know, in the 80s, people sometimes were a little envious. It practically doesn't happen anymore, you know. But this one person, he was really very envious of the devotees. So he would go to people after we distributed a book to them and ask them, do you want to keep that book or do you want to give it to me? Sometimes they weren't that interested, they'd just give a donation. Yeah. So whenever he'd get a book that people didn't want to keep, he'd come right in front of the Sankirtan devotees and rip it up in front of the Sankirtan devotees. So I saw that once, and then I saw it twice, and I thought, all right, I'm not going to tolerate this guy anymore. So in Miami, our dear Panchagoda, he had good contacts. We had undercover cops. And he had good friends with the undercover cops. So I went up to one of them and said, you know, we have this guy over here. He's harassing us like anything, ripping up our books in front of our face. He said, show me this guy. So we're walking towards this guy, and this guy walks up to the undercover cop and says, hey, don't buy a book from these guys. It's a cult. It's just the gurus up there collecting money. You know, don't get it. And the cop pulls out his badge and says, you got 2 seconds to get out of here. I'm going to take you to jail. And the guy just like went, he went running. So it's always good to have undercover policemen on our side. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
First of all, very thank you for the nice class. On distributing of books, I have experienced, I've tried distributing books in India, and especially in my society where I live, by Gurgaon, by New Delhi. And every time I approach somebody, they say, oh no, I don't, I already have it, and I don't want, and and sometimes, in a very disrespectful way of towards Khan. But then what I did was, I tried putting those books on just the dashboard, and believe me, at least like 4-5 lakhs rupees of books I've, so far I've been distributing, but with my own money. But so I see people are interested taking the books, but they just don't want to pay for it. And every time I took, like, my kids are putting books on the dashboard in the, like, apartment reception or somewhere in the tables.
So you give the books to them?
Yeah. So we don't know who are those people who are taking. We just put the books, and, like, every day 10, 20 books we were putting, and within, like, 1 hour, 2 hours, they were gone. So it looks like people were interested, and we are still doing that, but we are doing it with our own money.
Okay.
But every time when we try to sell somebody, say, and try to approach, even just to approaching was very difficult, because they just say, oh, no, we don't want, I know it's gone, and I know people, I know all this, I already have books and all that. So people are not, maybe there's an ego issue or something else, especially in India, and especially people, I've seen people here are very respectful, but in India, it happens, and then, we chose this path, distributing books from our own money. So tell us if this is the right path or not so right, and what should I do?
Well, this is called Shastra Dan. This is good. Shastra Dan means distribution of literature. Shastra Dan, donation. So actually this goes on around the world, Shastra Dan. There's devotees that just donate money so that books can be put in libraries and put in coffee shops and beauty shops, so that people can just take the books and go. So you're doing Shastra Dan, that's all right. But again, as far as people giving donations, one has to be very sincere. You have to really pray to Krishna. I mean, there's devotees that, in the world, the biggest book distribution happening now is in India, and people give donations. They give donations. So purity is the force. But the most important thing is good sadhana. Good sadhana. Chant your 16 rounds before you go out. You read Prabhupada's books before you go out. This is where you get inspiration. And people see you inspired, and they become inspired to reciprocate with you. So, actually, there's an instance where a devotee told Prabhupada, we're going to teach the devotees how to distribute books. The technique of book distribution. And Prabhupada said not necessary, because everybody has their different way. Just teach them to have good sadhana. If they have good sadhana, everybody will be able to distribute books in different ways. Just like right now, for the first time ever, now, just not too far from here, devotees are going out, parking lots, to schools, and they're selling full sets to people that don't know anything about Krishna. This Mahotsaha, he's the king of full set book distribution. He's here actually right now. He was here at Mangalarti. He led the Nisringadev prayers this morning. He did 12 sets just a few days ago. And that's $300 a set. So figure it out. Figure out the math. Hopefully that be. Yeah, he's the top distributor in the world. So, good sadhana. And now there's bhaktins and bhaktas selling full sets to people that don't know anything about Krishna. So this is what's happening now, just in case you didn't. This is something that's never happened before in ISKCON. It's happened. So, yeah. Maybe they just got a big church there in Atlanta, and there's a number of devotees. They're making devotees. There's one lady, she was in school to be a lawyer, and she got a book, and she was so inspired by the book, and then she met the devotees, and then she got also involved in book distribution. So now she just wants to distribute books. Forget the lawyer, I'm just going to distribute books. So this is what's happening in Atlanta. Yes, Mataji.
What do they tell them when they sell a set?
Yeah, I asked him, and he said, well, I just tell them, you know, it's about, you know, Lord Nrsingadev, and it's about, you know, the Kumaras, and, you know. He just... It's the enthusiasm. He's just got this. He's got an incredible amount of enthusiasm, and he's very jolly, very enthusiastic, and very jolly. But yeah, yes, we do.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So again, welcome to lecture.
Thank you
for the nice association. I have two short Sanskritan stories with Muslims.
Okay.
One was back in the 80s when I was in. Ayana, we were distributing full sets of Bhagavatam, so we got the one Muslim priest, he took a full set of Bhagavatam, and he introduced it into his Muslim community, his mosque, and it became a huge problem. They wanted to kill him.
Wow.
And his brother was one of the richest person in that county at the time, so they had to have like guards for him. Anyway, long story short, they were so adamant about it because he was using references from Prabhupada's books when he was preaching in his mosque.
Wow.
And they ended up in the court because he was always in touch with me, so one day he said, well, this is what's going on. So I said, well, why don't you save your life and give up the books? So he said, no, that's
why don't you save your life?
Save your life and give up Prabhupada's books.
Uh-huh, okay.
Because they wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
He said, no, that's not going to happen. That these books are actually the ones that are saving my life right now. So he was so attached to this Bhagavatam. I don't know, that was, he was old, and that was way back in the 80s, so probably passed away by now. So anyway, we have a second story with...
So what happened? He just kept on... He probably didn't continue being a priest there, right?
Well, they wanted to kick him out, but he was one of the owners of the building.
Oh.
Because it was his family who actually, you know, donated the building for the mosque. Uh-huh. So like that, he had some kind of a right to stay there. But they were, you know, there were huge problems. They ended up in court and all of that.
He was Indian body?
Yes, Indian body is Muslim. So... Anyway, several years ago, we used to do Ratha Yatras in Nashville, Tennessee. There's this park, it's called a celebration of cultures. About 40,000 people will be there from all different cultures. So the devotees were invited there too. So the first time we went, after the Ratha Yatra, which is right around the park, is about a mile around, then they gave us a spot, we set up the cart, we had the stage on. And that was our big part where Srila Prabhupada was sitting under, like the platform under, Srila Prabhupada was sitting there. So after the Ratha Yatra, we set up there, and then somebody came to the cart and was shaking Prabhupada, his holding Prabhupada, said, I want to ask you a question. So then a Muslim lady came in full Muslim attire, she and her family, and she started explaining to the man before I could have said anything. She came up, she said, no, that he's not alive, that his name is Prabhupada, he's the founder of this movement, this is a statue of him. And she starts to explain about Krishna consciousness to this person, and she said, well, just before that, she actually went up on a cart and she offered obeisance to she and her entire family. She had an entire Muslim wear and everything like that. And she was explaining to this person. that, you know, who this man is. And then next to him, we have books, and she said, these are his books, and she started talking about his books. Next thing, soon, she started to distribute books. And so many people were coming, my wife had to remember, Leelananda Prabhu was one of the, I had to appoint him as a guard. We had one guard on one side of Srila Prabhupada and one on the other side. And they stood there from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until about 5:30. And this lady and some of her friends, they were talking to people, and people were buying books constantly. That's this Muslim person, it was amazing.
She was
Middle Eastern? Yes, Middle Eastern,
fully. Did you find out? Maybe she's just undercover.
I don't know, but because she was speaking.
But she had read books before?
Well, apparently so. Apparently yeah. She read books. Yeah, she was speaking in English and in her Arabic or something to some of her Muslim people.
Wow.
And she got so much of them. Eventually, this crowd starts gathering, and we had a line that takes you about 25 to 30 minutes to get up to Prabhupada with a car for us. And it was so nice. It was really amazing how they did it. No, everybody's favorable then.
She did whole day stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, her religious part was open.
And that's what I did when we
did
it. Yeah,
I
think all around
Jesus. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah.
Thank you, Vijay Prabhu. It's very inspiring. I remember, many years back in Naperville, I was a reluctant book distributor. I mean, I was reluctant to book distribution, and once I attended your evening class, and I took up some book distribution then. And it's always inspiring, your emails which you sent out about all the Sankirtan experiences. And when is your book coming? I just wanted to check.
Just now coming. Naperville?
Naperville, yeah. We moved from Naperville in 2019 here.
Naperville, that's California?
No, Illinois. Suburbs of Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We came there 2015 or 2017.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
If anybody wants, I have a website. I send out stories and realizations and stuff. You could give me your email and I could add you. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.